Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 22nd chapter, beginning at the 31st verse. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." But he said to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death." Then he said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray now that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. One of the highest rated programs on the Discovery Channel is Deadliest Catch, where various fishermen and shrimpers and crabmen go out into the ocean trying to catch things. And it's such a dangerous work that some of the stars of that show, since the series began, have actually died and been killed because of their work. The Sea of Galilee at the time of Christ did have its storms for many of the fishermen and so on. Maybe not quite to that degree, although some of them could get pretty nasty as well. Simon Peter in our text before us, we're told, was one of these fishermen. And it's maybe hard for us to imagine somebody who had such a rugged occupation and probably was pretty toughened by all of this and the weather and so on, to see him, as we do in the gospel accounts, going out and weeping bitterly after he denies Christ in the courtyard the night that our Lord is brought in for trial and so on. We're told that Jesus turned and looked straight at Peter because he had predicted, as we see here, his denial of him three times before the rooster would crow twice. And we think of that big fisherman crumbling in tears, weeping bitterly, the text tells us in the Gospels. We notice here the affection of our Lord toward Peter when he refers to him and speaks to him now regarding what is going to be happening in the hours ahead, the seriousness of the situation. You can see it just in Jesus' usage of his name, saying it twice, "Simon, Simon." How often do you call somebody's name twice unless you really are trying to get their attention and really mean what you're going to say? It's quite some emphasis here. And Jesus now, as he speaks to him about what is going to transpire, also, in a sense, pulls back the veil that hides the invisible things that go on in the spiritual realm and exposes to him a little bit of the conversation and activities that take place in our spiritual lives. In the Nicene Creed, the Christian Church has confessed for centuries, "I believe in all things visible and invisible." And here Jesus now draws back the curtain to let us get a little bit of a glimpse into the invisible realm, the spiritual realm that goes on in the great battle for our souls. We see that also in the book of Job, where God gives us a little bit of insight into how Satan had to come before him to make a request. And we see that here as well. Jesus speaks about a request that Satan has now made specifically for Peter and for his spiritual life. And what we should notice here in regard to this fierce evil enemy that all of us have is, first of all, the reality of his existence. There are a lot of things that are invisible that we can't see and yet are very real. The little conscience inside of each one of us is a great example of that. No doctor can find it with a scalpel, but you know it's there, don't you? And likewise, the existence of this evil one. Notice the personal interest that he has in attacking Peter. The personal interest and the precision and the care that he has in building his temptations for us. And how pointed and focused he can be. There's a precision here that comes with the request that Satan makes about Peter and about his spiritual life. You see, the devil does his own fishing too. He likes to throw out nets and kind of blanket the world with temptations. That's true. But every once in a while, too, he likes to come to you and me in our own personal lives, and just like a little child on the dock with one fishing hook, looking down into clear water at that perch or sunny, trying to get the bait right in front of its mouth, sometimes he likes to get very personal with his temptations to us. Now we see here in our Lord's words what we often refer to in theology as the permissive will of God. We see how the Lord now is going to step back and permit this to take place. Now we need to keep in mind, God, as he tells us in Scripture, is never the author of evil. He is light. In him there is no darkness at all. And yet there are times when the Lord will step aside and pull his good angels aside to permit certain temptations to come even to his children. Jesus says, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, he says to Simon. A kernel of wheat going through the sifting process goes through quite a difficult torture, if you will, as the chaff is broken apart from it and so on. Now, Satan is not allowed to simply have at us and rush at us with anything from every possible angle, but God is involved in this decision. God permits this to happen in a way, and to have it hit us in a way that will not destroy us, and he will always provide for us a way out and a way of escape, the scriptures tell us. And in this particular case, for the sake of God's kingdom, for the sake of Christ's kingdom of grace, the barriers have been removed around a certain aspect of Peter's life to permit the devil to come in and to even have him now for a brief time. So for a short time, God lets the devil have the upper hand. The victory of Satan over Peter here is only temporary, and it is not final. Jesus' words in our text imply that he must have actually left Christ spiritually. He must have left the kingdom of grace. We're told that he would have to return. Dr. Walther says that in heaven someday, we may then discover how many times in our lives in this world we actually did fall away from grace, and maybe we're so in the stupor of unbelief that we weren't even aware of it. Maybe it was when we took our sins a little too lightly and didn't care about repentance and so on before God. Notice how comforting it is in our text, however, how personally concerned, likewise, Jesus is, the very Son of God, who is certainly more powerful than this evil angel and his cohorts. Christ is so personally concerned with the spiritual lives of his faithful, with the sheep of his kingdom. And notice how in tune he is with the spiritual details of what's going on in our lives. How tuned in he is to that, to the challenges that we face. Notice how concerned he is to have us remain faithful to him and to stay a part of his fold. Even to the point, as we see here, as he expresses to Peter, of praying for his recovery. It's wonderful when we find out that there are people praying for us. That's always nice to hear. But to think that the Son of God himself, God's own Son, true God, that he even now prays for you and for your ultimate spiritual eternal welfare. And Jesus says to Peter, and when you have returned to me, when you have returned to me, he's talking there about the door of repentance. That's always the door of return when we come back to God. And that's God's ultimate concern for us, our Lord's ultimate concern for you. In whatever temptation you face, whatever trial you face, and in whatever way that you may fall for a time, that you return, and that is through the door of repentance. Coming back and humbly acknowledging our sin, recognizing again how wonderful God's grace and mercy is for us, that through the death of his own Son on the cross, he has shed his holy, perfect blood for the sin of every person in this room. So that I can stand here on behalf of God, as sinful as the rest of you, but declare to you on behalf of him that all of your sins are completely forgiven, and that you are righteous and holy in his sight, with the hope of everlasting life in heaven through faith in his Son. Just like the father in the story of the prodigal son, waiting for that son to return, Christ now longs for Peter to come back. And that longing for you and me is no different in the heart of our Savior. And we remember, of course, how this story turns out, how after our Lord's resurrection, Peter does come back to Christ through his repentance, and Jesus comes and confronts him and stands right in front of him and asks him those questions. Peter, do you love me? He singles him out. And I'm sure the look that Christ had on his face that day was one of compassion and mercy and forgiveness, because that's exactly what he wanted to convey to him. Notice just the last line here in our text, one of the last things Jesus says to Peter. He says, "When you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." God will even take those who have fallen away, whom he again restores by the word of his kingdom, forgive them, and now give them tasks in his kingdom. What a way of demonstrating how completely forgiven we must be in his eyes. Amen. Please rise. Today we offer a prayer on behalf of those who have suffered the tragedy in Japan. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, according to your gracious will, we ask that you would now guide and direct the rescue and relief efforts in Japan. Give strength and comfort to those who now mourn the loss of their loved ones. In the difficult days ahead, may your hand of mercy be with those who struggle to rebuild their lives and their nation, and grant wisdom and ability to the governing officials. Your word instructs us that you permit such tragedies to lead us to repentance and to prepare our hearts and souls for the day of our Lord's return. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom through faith in Christ our Savior. We ask this all in his saving name. Amen. Please join me also in the morning prayer in the front part of your hymn book on page 167, the second morning prayer, as we now recognize the season of Lent we have entered. O my crucified Lord Jesus Christ, as the patient Lamb of God, you suffered for me the most shameful death on the cross, and with your precious blood you redeemed me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil. I pray you to give me the assurance of this redemption through your word and sacraments, and to direct my heart by your Holy Spirit. Preserve me with your divine love, and hide me this day, both body and soul, in your holy wounds. Wash me from all my sins, teach me to live a life of good works, and at the end lead me from this world of sorrow to your eternal joy and glory. Hear me, my faithful Savior, my only comfort, hope, and life, my Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.